Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. It is the news. Yes, it is. The news, according to me. Ah, my fans are just going crazy here. Fans are crazy. Thank you for being a fan, by the way. If you are a fan, I appreciate it. My wife's a fan, but she has to be. That's required. I think that was in our vows somewhere. She had to be a fan. I think it was required. She had to be my biggest fan. I think that was it. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't remember that day very well. I remember it was a great day, but I don't remember that much about it. So I have to excuse me on that one. Yeah. So it's an interesting day. Interesting day in the news cycle. And I'll tell you, there's going to be some things you watch today. There will be some things get dropped today that there's lots of stuff going on. And I guarantee you they will throw things out in the news cycle today that you otherwise would not have heard about unless you're paying attention. They're gonna try to dump a bunch of stuff today. I just guarantee it. It's currently 4:21 right now on Friday, February 19th, 2021. And here we are, waiting for the big news. Something big is going to happen, I'm sure. And there are a few things in the news. I caught a couple headlines, and I guess there's interesting stuff going on. There's a DOJ person who's being confirmed by the Senate today. Kristen Clark. What was her name? Now, this lady has some interesting background, and this whole Senate confirmation process is just a joke to me. It is a joke. Why do they even bother? It's not like anybody, you know, they own the Senate right now, and they're going to put in Biden's picks. What's the purpose? It's a news media grandstand thing. It's a chance to get in front of the and act like you're being really tough on these people. Okay, yeah, they're gonna get in anyway. What's the purpose of this? This all these hearings they have and people squirming in their chair and acting like it's I'm upset about this. I'm gonna throw a tizzy fit. And then nothing changes. They don't have any prosecutorial powers. Prosecutorial. Try to say that five times fast. Try to say it one time fast. And it gets old. Senate hearings, Judiciary Committee hearings, Security Council hearings. It's always, well, I don't remember, Senator. I can't recall. That was Comey's big thing. I don't remember. I don't remember anything. I can't remember. I don't remember. I can't remember. I don't recall. I don't remember. That's the first thing a lawyer will tell you if you don't want to, you know, get yourself into a perjury trap. Just I don't recall. I can't remember at the moment. I don't know. Yeah, I wrote a book about it, but I don't remember what anything is. I don't remember anything about that. I wrote a 3,000-page book, and I've gone on book tours and sold it. But I actually had a ghostwriter read that for me, so I didn't actually write the book. So you might want to ask the ghostwriter who wrote the book, because they probably know more about it than I do. Yeah, I was there at the event, but I don't remember anything about it. Yeah, that's the kind of crap they do all the time. And then, of course, if they do want to answer the question, they'll say, well, we'll have to answer that in closed session because it's security. It's sensitive. Security sensitive information in there. In other words, they're going to mention some politician that they don't want to talk about. Well, there's an ongoing investigation. See, that's a whole other reason for this. This is another reason they put these investigations out there. This is why Durham does his thing. And nobody will ever hear from him. There will never be a report. But anybody who falls, it protects anybody from talking about anybody who's being investigated because they can say, well, there's an ongoing investigation right now. I can't talk about that. So we can't find out about it until 5 years later. And then they sweep it under the rug somewhere, and everybody forgets about it, and there's another big thing happening anyway, so it doesn't matter. Nobody cares about that now. much like an election that happened just a few months ago. Which I guess, now I also saw some kind of, something happened in Arizona where they're saying that they've changed some rules now where they can actually go in and investigate some of the shenanigans. Oh, you little shenaniganer. Oh, you committed some little shenanigans. That's not what happened on the January 6th, is it? Some shenanigans went on, and that was a violent attack. Terrorist attack. Bloody, violent attack on our nation's temple of democracy. I've been drinking way too much sweet tea. That and the fact that I had a voiceover job this afternoon, and they wanted me to speak about a minute and a half's worth of copy in 55 seconds. So right now I am like, I still have like nitrous boost, like the little, you know, the video games when you push a little button and a nitrous boost would happen and your car would go a lot faster. That's still pumping through my veins right now. I have, I'm in high gear right now. I don't know if you can tell or not, but, I'm going to take a sip of sweet tea. I probably should have drank some hot chocolate or something, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe some hot chamomile tea to calm me down a little bit. Ah, that's better. Yes, I can feel the cold, sweet tea soaking into my cold body. Yeah. So I think I just said the whole show. I think I just gave you an hour-long show in about 5 minutes. I'm not positive, but I think you just got an hour's worth of content in about 6 minutes and 55 seconds. There you go. Yeah. I will calm down now. Thank you for calming me down. Yeah, so this Kristen Clark gal is being... I remember what I was talking about. You don't think I remember, do you? You thought I was going to go off on some tangent somewhere. And I was actually going to do that, but I decided to come back and talk about this Kristen Clark lady. She is the civil rights, what is it? The Civil Rights Division, I think it's called, CRD or whatever. It's under the Department of the DOJ, Department of Justice. And so this would be under the FBI, the AG. Not agriculture, but AG, the Attorney General's office. And this lady is a problem. She's going to be in charge of the Civil Rights Division, which means here's where it gets a little creepy, because this is where she's the kind of person who would say that all Trump supporters, she would fall right in line with the idea that all Trump supporters are terrorists, or that they are all insurrectionists, or that they all need to be reprogrammed for society. There's a lot of some of the YouTubers that I subscribe to. I don't necessarily like believe everything they say, but I like to have them on my subscriptions. I don't spend much time listening to them, but I do listen to a little bit of what they say, and I also kind of like I skim. What they're putting out there, because what happens is you end up, kind of seeing what the far out ideas are, and sometimes they have stuff that's right on. I mean, I have to admit, sometimes they find some things, but usually what they do is they find information, or they kind of do some research and they do some digging, and they'll find some reports and they put these things together that they start connecting dots that aren't there. That's what the problem with some of that stuff is. And when you start combining that with something like Q and the ability to kind of dig in with something like what Q is all about. And I got to tell you, I'm probably going to make some enemies out of this, but Q is a psyop, okay? Be very careful with it. There's just enough truth in the operation. And this should have been very well exposed during the whole thing between November 3rd and January 20th. because people were still holding on to this idea. You know, somebody would find a news clip somewhere of somebody saying something or a picture of something somewhere in Italy or wherever it was. And they would start spreading that around, and it would spread like wildfire. And it would fall right in line with what people were saying that was going to happen with this whole thing, that this whole thing was a setup, that it was, you know, all a big sting operation. This is all a big sting operation. They're going to get all these people, all these criminals. And, of course, and then there was this crazy, you know, the guy with the horns that went into to the Capitol building, the guy with the horns. He was a special ops guy. He was special ops, and he was going in there. He had cameras. He'd been showing up at the Antifa rallies because he had cameras in his horns. And he was videoing everything that was going on. Yeah. Now, he was military. Apparently, the guy was ex-military. May have been in some kind of special forces or special teams or whatever he was on. I don't know if he was on the, I don't know what he was doing. So yeah, that is true. He, as far as we know, he was in the military. At least the pictures we've seen of him has been the case. So I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there. We have, yeah, it's interesting. So this lady who is this Kristen Clark gal, apparently has ruffled some feathers in the past, and there's some people who are really concerned about her being in the position. And here's the reason. The reason basically is because her support of BLM and the ideals and theologies that she has behind her beliefs. She has, in fact, there's some Christian, even CBN, I think, was reporting on some things that they basically were concerned about, the Kristen Clark issue. Because they're like, uh-oh, this isn't good, because Kristen Clark is, according to them, what their big concern is that she's kind of an anti-Christian type person, is what I understood. So I don't know. It sounds, and here's the thing. When you have someone, in that position who has kind of a, it seems like she kind of knows that the BLM movement is actually a Marxist organization. And from what I can determine, her philosophy or her theology, and this goes right along with the BLM philosophy, actually. But even though the whole thing with BLM was set up, if you know anything about Black Liberation Theology, BLT, it's not a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Not that I eat those, but I've heard they're good. I don't know that I've ever actually eaten one. I'm not a big tomato guy. So I wouldn't mind now, if you had a cheese and bacon sandwich, I could do that. Lettuce, okay. If there's just a little bit of lettuce on there. So I could have a BLC, bacon, lettuce, and cheese. I would eat that. Wash it down with some sweet tea. That might be good. I was hungry enough to eat that. But, you know, otherwise, Why eat that though when you can have pizza? That's a good question. That's the question of the day. So this lady and BLT is Black Liberation Theology, and Black Liberation Theology, if you know anything about it, you will, and if you hear anybody talk about it, you will find it is the most racist theology on the planet. I would rank it right up there with the KKK thing. Only, of course, now Black people can't be racist because they have no institutional power. That's what I've been told a lot. So when a Black person yells at you or kills you or punishes you just because you're white, apparently that's not racism, I guess. That's what I've been told. the systemic racism that they claim is, you know, just listen to Larry Elder. Larry Elder's got plenty of very well documented information about systemic racism. Listen to what he has to say about it. He can articulate it much better than I can, obviously. About anybody could. A small child could probably do that better than I could. The thing you got to watch is that they claim this. Now, my question to you is, understanding a little bit about people and their basic problems, basic issues, where does racism abide? Does it abide on a piece of paper? Does it abide in a building? Does it abide in an institution? Or does it abide in the hearts of people? It is manifest in the hearts of people. And as far as I know, last I've heard, it doesn't matter what color your skin is, you have a heart that something can abide in. So don't tell me. Because even among, I've been to Nigeria. I spent some time in Nigeria, Africa. There is, I guess you can call it tribalism. It's not really racism there. But there are tribes that fight against other tribes. They discriminate, put it that way. And that word, we don't hear that word anymore. It's just racism. You might have discrimination. You know, you might treat one person differently than the other because of the color of their skin. You might treat one gender different than the other. You might treat tall people different than short people. That's not all racism. Sometimes that's just discrimination because you're, for whatever reason. Some black people are afraid of white people. Some white people are afraid of black people. Some men are afraid of women. Some women are afraid of men. Because of maybe something that happened to them in the past, or maybe just because they are different. I don't know. There's all kinds of reasons for that. Go see a counselor. Don't talk to me. I'm not a counselor. Deal with your issues. I'm afraid of people who are over 10 feet tall. They scare the daylights out of me. 9 foot 9, that's fine. 9 foot 11, I'm okay with that. If you're over 10 foot, now I'm terrified. I don't know what kind of phobia that is, but there it is. There you go. Where was I? I was talking about Kristen Clark. And apparently, I'm not sure if she's going to get confirmed today, or if they're just working on it today, or if they just announced that she's going to be confirmed next week. I don't know. I say that they're going to go through confirmation hearings, which means nothing. It just means that they're going to talk and yell back and forth and pick apart everything that she's done and talk about. And then they're going to let her have the position, because that's what's going to happen. So I don't know. All I can say is we've got an administration that's shaping up to be extremely... extremely radical. Now, and this gets back to a whole thing. I tried to listen to Joe Biden's speech today to the other nations. He did it virtually through, you know, from behind a podium. They just told him, okay, I'd like to welcome the President of the United States, and he's going to speak now. And they started speaking. And, of course, at first the audio was terrible. It was this back-looped thing where you heard him speak, like, it was like an echo thing where you heard him speak twice because they had looped in. It's a soundboard issue. They screwed something up, and for about the first 5 minutes, it was I couldn't listen to it. It was driving me up absolutely insane. And they finally fixed it then, and then they got on the right camera. I think what they had was they had a camera audio turned on with a microphone audio or something going on weird there. I don't know what's going on. So once they got all that figured out, and I started listening to him. It just keeps coming back to me that this guy, you know, he was reading from a teleprompter, looking into the camera, and the way he talks, he'll kind of lose his place and he'll repeat something so that it looks more like he's trying to emphasize it. To emphasize it. That's what he does. Because words matter. He'll slow down his speech and he'll try to make it sound like he's making, everything's got to be kind of a little over-dramatized because he's trying to do it, you know, slowly and make it work. Like okay, here's an example. I just pulled this up. It's just the definition of terrorism. So I just read this. This is just a little commentary thing on the definition of terrorism. The difficulty in defining terrorism is in agreeing on the basis, a basis for determining when the use of violence directed at whom, by whom, for what ends, is legitimate. Therefore, the modern definition of terrorism is inherently controversial. Inherently controversial. Now, see, that sentence, I could read that in about 5 seconds. And it took him about a minute. Something like that. I don't know. Some ridiculous thing. So that's, and that is an issue because, you know, there are people who, just interesting that I should read that right there, because there are people like these civil rights leaders that we're talking about, like Kristen Clark, who would say that the founders were terrorists. And in fact, I think she did say that. I'm not positive. But that's the kind of thing that they would say. Well, because that is actually an acceptable statement on probably about 70% of the college campuses out there, universities out there. That's the kind of thing they're teaching people right now. So be aware of that. The founders were terrorists. So, yeah. That's according to them. I'm not saying that. That's according to me, they're not, but that's according to them. Because it gets down to that whole definition of what terrorism is. I think that what the founders envisioned as a revolution and how they saw the rights of the people to be protected would now be defined as terrorism. But what happened on the 6th was not terrorism. Okay, let's just be clear about that. It all depends on how, you know, one person's definition and another person's definition. And it's just too. Now, what happened on 9/11 was terrorism. When you're randomly killing innocent people, that's terrorism. That's according to me. That's how I see it. Indiscriminately just killing people to create terror within the community. That's what that's about. I don't know that there was any political purpose in what they did, necessarily. They weren't trying to take over the country. But that was, you know, everybody would agree that that's terrorism. Well, not everybody. There's some people out there who think that that was like a punch in the. I heard people being interviewed afterwards, and they're talking about the way the people in the Middle East would see that as just, we finally punched America in the nose. Okay. If that's what you want to look at it as, or, you know, how there's one particular woman in the Congress who kind of has this opinion about it. Here's what she thinks about it.
Some people did something?
That's about all she thinks about that. Yeah, that's great. That's why people are upset with that whole thing. So Kristen Clark is going to be in there. And if you look around at some of the other people who've been approved and the way the other administration people are being set up here, what's happening with this whole thing, it's becoming very obvious that Joe Biden is not in charge. Here's the deal. Joe Biden is not leading this country. And if you think he is, you're sadly misguided. and deceived, because he's not. He's not the one writing these speeches. When I heard him read this speech to the world leaders, I don't know, some kind of conference he was in. Of course, we were pulling out our troops out of Germany, and that's not, he's put a halt to that. Any withdrawals that were going on has stopped. And there's a lot of other policies now that are going back into place. Of course, the Paris Accord, the Iran deal, all this stuff is all coming back. Because you know how great it was working. So I listened to, along with this whole thing about the Civil Rights Division thing, I listened to a council today that was, it was a Zoom call, a Zoom meeting, it was a House committee of some kind. They were talking about the increase in violent attacks on Asians. Now, they're attributing it to Donald Trump. And here's how they get there. They are saying that, and I listened to just 5 minutes of it, and it was just all about Donald Trump. And I got to the point where I was just sick of it. And the thing went on for like an hour. And every time I would tune it in, they were talking about the rhetoric from the previous administration, from Donald Trump, is what has incited all of this. So everybody's going to jump on this train now. Everybody's going to jump on this bandwagon, whatever it is. It's some kind of a vehicle that moves down the road. I don't know what it is, but I think it's just some kind of a jalopy. I don't know. Maybe it's a Pontiac. I have no clue. But they're all jumping on it, whatever it is, and it's rolling down the road. And it's all about the previous administration has incited the problems that we have today. Now you watch for the next however many years. That's all we're going to hear about. All we heard about for 8 years was that Obama inherited the worst economy ever, and it took us all those years to get out of it. I would beg to differ, because I think people forgot how bad the economy was in real life, in like middle-class communities, when Jimmy Carter was in president. There was a reason why Jimmy Carter was a one-termer. And there was a reason why there was a landslide victory when Ronald Reagan stepped into office. Things were not good. And things turned around in a year. Things weren't recovering when Jimmy Carter stepped out of office. They were still on the downturn. And even working with a Democrat Congress, Reagan turned it around. It's very similar to the way Trump did, but I think there were some other things. There were some other issues involved in the Trump turnaround. So we see this kind of stuff happening, and so this, all they talked about was how the rhetoric from the previous administration is what has the violent, the increase in violence on Asians now is because of Trump and his rhetoric from the last, I don't know, year or 4 years or whatever it is. First of all, where'd they get the numbers in the violent, and how does it relate to violent attacks on everybody else? Maybe violent attacks on everybody has gone up. I don't know. They won't give you that information. And gone up from what? Was it down and then it went back up, or did it go down and it's never been this high, or who's committing these crimes? Is it white on Asian? Is it black on Asian? Is it green on Asian? I don't know what it is. It's they just throw these numbers out there, and I don't know what they're looking for. I'm not sure what they're going to accomplish, other than just blaming Trump and maybe since everybody's jumping on the bandwagon with this, they can just also file a lawsuit against Donald Trump for this as well. Everybody wants money from Donald Trump. They want to destroy him. They want to get all his money. They want to take everything away from him. They want to remove all of his, anything that has his name on it in the Capitol area. They want to take the name off. Anything that has that he did, they want to reverse, regardless of whether it was good or not. They don't care. They don't want his name on anything. So it'll be real interesting to see what happens with that. And, yeah, we kind of know what's going to happen with all that. Now, I did mention the other day that Carmella, as I like to call her, I guess because I'm racist, I don't know. But I guess she's been taking some of the duties that the president normally does after he steps into office. Typically, he makes phone calls to foreign state leaders, to other state leaders. Not state within the states. It's like the heads of state in other countries. In other words, the presidents, whatever they are. And she's been making those calls. I don't know why. Other than, I'm sure they have some kind of politically correct reason for that. They'll give you some, oh, well, because where she's... Which, again, seems like that becomes kind of patronizing sometimes when people do that kind of thing. Well, I'm going to let you do it because you're a black woman and we want to make sure you can do it. We're going to let you do it because we're going to pat you on top of the head and say, oh, see, the little black woman can do it just as well. Is that what they're doing? Because that kind of thing is just, in my opinion, is just patronizing. If I had a job responsibility and somebody else said, oh, we're going to let you do this little boy. Oh, look at you, this little boy here. We're going to let this little boy do it. I just said, no, I'll do my job. You do your job. Thanks, but no thanks. Because it's just obvious. When it's just that obvious. Now, if she's going to be the president next week, they might want to, that's probably what, maybe that's why they're doing it. I don't know. And maybe they know something we don't know. All I can tell you is even his speech today, his speech when he was doing his read, it was live. It was very slurred. And normally he'll have a few words that are slurred, especially the big words where the sentences kind of run together. he'll do that a little bit. However, there's a problem. When he's talking now, It's not good. He, almost everything was kind of slurred together today. That's what I've noticed. And I have the feeling he's getting a little bit tired. I think there's some issues that are slowly, becoming obvious here now. But of course, they won't mention it for a while. I think they're going to try to get him through 100 days. What I think they're going to try to do. I seriously doubt he's going to make it that long. But they're going to try to anyway. So we'll see what happens with that. But I do want to mention again, Trevor Loudon. I talked about this morning. Counterpunch. If you haven't had a chance to check that show out, I would highly recommend it. Counterpunch. On YouTube, Trevor Loudon. Really good report. His last one, I think it was about 6 days ago. I think it was the last one. I think he normally puts them out on Saturdays, apparently. But Pete Buttigieg, for those of you who remember, he was the mayor from South Bend. And he was running for president. He is now the transportation secretary, I believe. His dad, Joseph Buttigieg. Now, I guarantee you, Pete's going to run again. He's not a very old guy. He's a pretty young guy. His whole life has been politics, and I'm sure he's going to stay in politics. And once you've run for president, you're going to run again. So I'm sure he's going to run again. Joseph Buttigieg was a professor at Notre Dame University, and he was a devout follower and... student, I'll say, of a guy named Gramsci. And I think he was actually the head of the Gramsci association or whatever it was called, the administration or Gramsci club, whatever it was, something. Fraternity, I don't know. And anyway, he, yeah, it was interesting that you look at the way he ties it all together with the history of Gramsci and what Joseph Buttigieg was about, and how Pete Buttigieg, who was considered to be this kind of middle-of-the-road, average, normal, they portrayed him as this average, normal centrist. I got news for you. When he came into office in South Bend, when he was running for office, I think he was the youngest mayor that South Bend had ever had. And when he was running for office initially, you know, he told the police department, not in front of the press. This was just, he would just let them know. Well, I'm basically a Republican, but I'm running on the Democrat ticket because Republicans can't win here in South Bend. My policies are all the same, and I'm coming around. I'm basically pretty much the Republican policies are all part of my campaign. It's part of my platform, but I'm going to run as a Democrat because you can't win as a Republican in this town. Uh-huh. That's what he said. No, he's nothing close to a Republican at all. And that became very clear after a while. So, and then his voting record and the way he managed the city was just absolutely, it was pathetic. I suppose there are some people who probably had no problem with him, the way he operated and did things. But again, I got to tell you, there's a lot of issues over there, especially, ironically, especially with the streets and the stuff that's going on there. So I'm going to cut this show short today because it's Friday and it's almost 5 o'clock. And so, again, I just want to leave on a positive note. We have the weekend ahead of us. There's some interesting things happening in the news and in different arenas. Personally, here's my personal take, and I'll leave this with you because I think this is a fairly positive statement to make. How I see this all boiling down. And I would not normally have said this because here's the thing. The Republican establishment is a very powerful organization. It is much more powerful probably than most people realize, I think, in many ways. And I was a little bit cynical to think that because here's the thing. The Trump movement, yeah, it's got a lot of momentum right now. The 75-plus million people that voted for Trump, of which about 90% approved of his job rating within the Republican Party, approval rating, whatever he had. And it was huge. And it was huge. Well, that bunch is still, I think, has kind of seen what's going on now. Now, nobody in politics on the Republican side has ever come out and just flat looked at a reporter and said, "You are fake news." Nobody has looked at a reporter in an interview and said, "You're a Democrat." Nobody has stepped into the podium in a news conference and just gone toe-to-toe with these people without any notes. Now, think about that. And this is the one thing that I still am going to keep on hammering on this issue. When is Joe Biden going to step in the podium there and ask Jen Psaki to circle back? "Hey there, Jen, why don't you circle back? I'm going to take the podium here for a minute, and I'm going to field some of these questions. I'm going to answer the press directly. They're going to hear straight from me." I don't know how many times Obama did it, but I know he did do it. I don't think he did it very often, especially near the end. He was not doing press conferences at all. Now, Joe Biden has done zero. I was kind of shocked when Trump stood in the podium, took over the press conference. Because frankly, I still wasn't too, I wasn't too confident about Trump initially. I was a little concerned. And here he comes into the, to the press conference. And I'm thinking, oh, this is good. Oh boy. I'm on pins and needles. What's he going to say now? They're going to get in all kinds of trouble now. I'm going to screw, something's going to mess up. He's going to screw something up. And you know what? I may not like the way he communicates and the way he speaks. Okay. He's got that kind of New Yorker thing going on. And he kind of talks in kind of, I call it cryptic kind of language. It's not, he doesn't speak in communication the way I think most people, I think he has a hard time communicating with, I'm having a hard time communicating right now. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Oh, I know. Oh, I just saw my tea over here. This is the problem. Ah, yes, there we go. Yes, now the communication will flow freely from my mouth. Goes from my brain to my stomach to see what's in there, and then it comes back out of my mouth. And that's all I got. I think I just washed the whole show right down with that sip of tea. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here in the next little while with the powers that be in the White House and the powers that want to be and the all the other people standing around wondering what the heck's going on that are there right now. I don't know what it's like to be a general right now, sitting in a meeting with the president and all the heads of state there. And you're standing there, and of course you just came out of a presidency where, Trump is in charge. He's large and in charge kind of thing. Doesn't know what he's doing, but he's still large and in charge. And he didn't know what he's doing because it's a new job. The whole thing is he never sat and talked to military people about what's going to, about strategy and what's going on. On the other hand, Joe Biden has, and he still doesn't know what's going on. And it's now he can't even function. Can you imagine being a general and sitting there saying, this is my commander in chief? And he doesn't know where the coffee machine is. He doesn't have any idea what coffee is. And when they gave him his coffee, he's just, they gave him a bib with it because he's drooling down his, he may not be that bad. I don't know. I can either confirm or deny that he's that bad. But that's just what I envision in my head. That's what I see when I think of Joe Biden drinking coffee. That's what I see. I see Joe in a nursing home. When I think of Joe Biden, I think of Joe Biden in a nursing home. That's how I think of him. Because I think that's where he's going to be very shortly. He'll never be in a nursing home, by the way. But that's how I see him. So, because it's according to me. You can have your opinion and you can say I'm mean, but the guy has no business being in the White House. And I think that there's about 80 million people that probably agree with me on that. Not that that matters. I don't care if you agree with me or not. That's just my opinion. In fact, if you agree with everything I say, then, well, you're a pretty smart guy or gal or whatever you are. I don't know. You're a pretty smart they. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and call this a show. I know I've gone even longer than what I thought, which is not unusual for me. I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank you for our views and our listens are up again. And this week are higher than they were last week. And I can only attribute that to people sharing and subscribing. And I really want to say that I thank you and I appreciate that so much. And eventually, when we get to do this podcast live and we start having more interaction and having people comment, you can call into the show, by the way. I won't answer, but you can call in and leave a message. I might answer. You never know. I might answer. But you can call or you can text the show at 574-742-6748. I don't have a call screener. So watch your language. Because I might play it on the show or I might just talk about it. I might answer your question, or I might just ignore it altogether. And I haven't checked my messages lately. I don't know if anybody texted in today or not. I don't know. I haven't checked on that. But I'm looking forward to the day when I start getting some interaction from the audience out there. So again, folks, don't be shy. If you've got a question or want to make a comment, or you just got a funny story you want to tell, I'm here and I'm listening. So there you go. There you have it. Now I need to go home and I need to feed my dogs and see if I can keep the house from freezing. That's the main goal right now. It's supposed to get down to 4 degrees again tonight and feel like negative 12 or something. That's some ridiculous thing. So we're coming up on sundown here at the News to Me studios, according to me studios, the TNA to Me studios. And I have to get the TNA to Me singers in here. They haven't been in for recently. And I'll have to get them in here to sing a little ditty. They've got a couple that they've been working on, and they're going to have to get those in here and get them playing. So that will happen next week, I guarantee you. We're also getting a little kitty cat over the weekend. We're adopting a kitty cat for the dogs to play with, little squeaky toys. A little squeaky toy for the dogs. And getting that done. But in the meantime, it is coming up on Shabbat here in a little bit. And that's Sabbath, for those of you who don't know what that is. Sabbath is still Saturday, by the way. I know that some people think that it was changed. It was never changed. Shabbat is still Saturday. Sundown, Friday night. And Sunday is still the first day of the week. Look at your calendar. And see what the first day of the week is. Yeah, it's Sunday. We dedicate the first day of the week to worship. Saturday is rest. So I'm going to go home, take a nap, and then I'm going to go to a meeting. So, with Rabbi Rick is speaking tonight at the meeting. So that'll be fun. Get to see Rabbi Rick. We can talk about politics. Hey, maybe have a sandwich, maybe a bagel with a schmear, something like that. So, again, thank you for listening, and just thank you for being you, whatever that means. Because if you could be someone else, and you're not, I appreciate you not being someone that you're not. I just want to say that, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, which is not very deep, but it's you know, it's there. It's a heart, and it's got some depth to it. Get a micrometer out and figure out how deep that thing is. So, once again, have a great weekend. God bless. Take care. And I will see you Monday morning. Well, I'll hear you Monday. You'll hear me Monday morning. I won't see you or hear you unless you call in or text. But you will hear from me on Monday morning, if you tune in to the News, according to me.